Good morning. Please take your seats. How you doing out there? You okay? Thank you, both of you. I discovered something a couple of weeks ago, and that is that age is, it's all relative. You know, it's all relative to who you're with at any given time. So let's have a test this morning. So out there, looking at me from where you are right now, how many of you would be honest enough to put your hand up and say, you know what, Dave, I think you're old? How many think Dave's old this morning? Put your hand up. Okay, we have, take that picture straight away. We now know who you are. And as you're looking at me, if I have any friends out there, how many would say, Dave, you know what, you're young? Put your hand up. Thank you again, three or four of you. Thank you very much. I was away a couple of weeks ago in Yorkshire. I had a passport to get in. And I went away for a couple of days to do a bit of writing. And the place where I was staying, there wasn't food available other than what I cooked for myself. I lasted one night. The second night, I went to the pub for some food. And I went to this little village, I think it must be a retirement village, and went into this lovely, quaint pub, and very traditional pub, very traditional landlord. And I went in there and tried their fish and chips, which were really nice, fish chips and mushy peas. And I went to the bar to pay for my meal, and I got my card out, and the landlord looked at me and he said, "No cash then." So I said, "No, sorry, it's card." So then he went for a machine, and he blew the dust off the machine. And I said to him, I said, "Is it contactless?" And he looked at me, he said, "I don't know. You young'uns with your cards." I love that man. I will go back there again. He is my hero. How many know age is all relative to who you are with? Got absolutely nothing to do with the talk this morning, but I just wanted to share this story with you. We're starting this new series called House and Home. Everyone say House and Home. And basically the whole premise of this series is that we're looking at leadership. And all of us, you know, whether we are natural leaders or whether we are trained leaders or whether we don't think we're leaders at all, you know, we all lead something. And that starts in our home. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking about leadership and how we lead it in different contexts. And so here we go. And I start with the whole thought of Joshua 24, which is what we are basing this series on. Joshua 24, verse 15. And before I read that, let me just give you the context that there is very often God brings challenge to his people. And that's okay, you know. He wants to bring us to a place where we can live the good life, where we can live in his abundance. And so he comes along and he challenges. And in the Old Testament, it was the same. His people were being challenged. And so in Joshua 24, his people are being challenged about their past and what they've done in the past, but really asking the question, where are you right now? And so Joshua 24, verse 15 says this, speaking to his people, "But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today who you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates?" So he's speaking to them in their context. We could do the same in ours. "Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family," another version says, "and for me and my house, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let me say, there is a self-leadership decision right there. As I began to read that scripture, I'm thinking, I'm speaking this morning on self-leadership, leading myself. There is self-leadership right there. As for me, everyone say me. He declares, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I've entitled this morning's talk, Me, Myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. Leading my household starts with me. And I would say for you that even don't even have your own household as such yet, this is a decision to make even before you do. Then when you find that right guy, when you find that right gal, that you're going to say, you know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is may not be happening. In fact, it may not be happening quick enough for me, but the decision is made right there. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, the difficulty here is that it's always much easier to lead someone else, right? Got to be easier to tell someone else what to do. And so what I wanted to do was to bring a little bit of a preach, a little bit of a teach this morning on things to know if you're going to lead yourself well in life. And some of these may be a little bit out there, but I wanted to bring them because they're biblical and things that I want you to know this morning about if you want to live a life in God and you want to lead yourself well, there's some things that you need to know. And here's the first. Everyone say number one. First thing to know if you're going to lead well. If you want to live, then you've got to die. Oh, what a start. If you want to live, if you want to live in abundance, if you want to live in John 10:10, if you want to live not a stolen life, but live in the abundance of Christ, if you want to live, then you've got to die. So let me help some people this morning. For all of you who would say that you are not of faith, that might sound really strange right now. And so let me explain something for all of us this morning in relation to this. You see, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, as those of us who have put our fellowship and our trust in Jesus, that's really what I'm saying. We believe this. When it comes to leading ourselves, we are effectively leading two people. Everyone say two. You didn't know you were two. We are effectively leading two people. It's like two sides, one coin, two sides. I was looking at this 10-pence piece. I don't know where it came from. I never have any money, but it was in my pocket this morning. The queen is on one side, and there is a picture of a lion on the other. Very, very different sides, but the same coin. And so let me say this. There is myself. Everyone say myself. There is myself, and there is me. Everyone say me. So there are two sides to us. There is myself, and there is me. And let me tell you, they are not the same. And if I am going to lead Dave, because you know what, I'm preaching to myself here. If I'm going to lead Dave well, if this is about myself, and you can put this to yourself this morning. If this is about me leading Dave well, then I need to understand the fact that there is myself and there is me. And I believe that you do too. So let me give a little bit of an explanation. Myself is essentially who I was without Jesus. Before I came to faith, before I made that decision, that literal decision to follow the ways of Christ and to trust Jesus, this is who I was. Often referred to as the old nature. Has anybody heard of the old nature before? The old nature. And speaking about me, never about you, of course. If you like, the wayward Dave. The Dave who was all about me, myself, and I. The Dave for whom it wasn't enough to be reformed, but I was the Dave who needed to be renewed. I don't want to be reformed. I want to be renewed. Anybody feel like that today? I get sick and fed up of you can be better if you take this, if you do this, if you read this. That might be well and fine, but you know what? I don't need reforming. I need renewing. We need to be renewed. And then, from that point, the beautiful narrative of Jesus comes to the fore when he goes to the cross. And we think, well, what was the cross about? The cross was about the fact that Jesus took on all the wrong things that I'd done so that I didn't need to be reformed. I could be renewed. I could be completely renewed. And so this picture of the cross comes, and I just want to say, without going into massive detail about that this morning, that it was because I was renewed through what Jesus did, I am renewed. Therefore, I have been freed from the wrong. I have been freed from the sin that was holding me. I have been freed from myself. Now that's good news. That's good news for anybody to hear. That we can be freed from ourselves and our thinking and our wrong. And we can be freed from all the wrong that we've done, that we try and be good in order to say, hey, well, God, I can be good. I can look good. I can act good. You know, God says it's all futile because unless you are renewed in Christ, you are not renewed at all. So we're talking about being renewed. Freedom from my sin. Is anybody glad that they were freed from their sin? I'm freed from myself. And so from this point that I make that decision and I say, Jesus, I ask you into my world now so that I become part of you and I move away from the sin that has held me and I live in the freedom that you bring me. And so I move from a point of self, myself, into the God intended me. Wow. The God intended me. The Apostle Paul, in his writings in Scripture, puts it like this in a New Testament book called Galatians. In Galatia, there was a church just like there is in Wigan, and Paul the Apostle was writing to the church, and he was saying, what you've experienced is a little bit like this. Galatians 2:20 says this. Listen to the wording. My old self has been crucified with Christ. Wow. If we could only just understand what that is. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This experience is often referred to as our new nature. Everyone say old nature. Everyone say new nature. You know what? I want to be living in the new nature. I want to be living in all the blessing that God has for me. I want to be living not a reformed life. I want to be living a renewed life. But if we're going to do our life well, if we're going to lead ourselves, then we need to understand that there is this battle going on. It's really interesting because now here's the point and here's the battle that I just want to focus on for a minute or two. The same Apostle Paul, the same person that wrote Galatians 2:20, wrote basically in Romans 7 verse 15, he wrote the same, he wrote this. So he's the one who's saying about getting rid of self. He's the one about bringing on the new nature. He says this. I do not understand what I'm doing. Do you ever feel like that? Would you admit to yourself? He's saying, I really don't know what I do. Here's the point. For what I want to do, I don't do. In other words, the things that I know are right, the things that I know are God's best for me, the things that I know I should say and see and hear. And for what I do, for what I want to do, I don't do. But what I hate, I do. Wow. The same Paul that speaks about this release, there's obviously something going on here beyond our renewing that we need to watch out for if we're going to lead ourselves well. I think Paul, who was renamed Paul from Saul, he was Saul and God changed his name to Paul. Something had happened. There'd been a shift in him and he changed his name. God changed his name. He was Saul. I think Paul really is saying this. Some days I'm more Saul than Paul. How can that be, God? Effectively, I'm saying this, and hear me when I say, effectively, there is a standoff between my old nature and my new one. Does anybody sense that and feel that when you just live in life? That very often, God, I want to be this and I want to live this way and I want to be honoring to you, but so often I live the opposite. The things that I desire to be and do, I don't become because of the things that, just like Paul, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. What is that? So the new nature that wants to lead me, the God intended me, the new nature that wants to lead me, the old nature that battles against the new. If you like, I'm not speaking about sin here. How many know God has cleansed us from sin? Hear me what I'm saying. But when we speak about this battle of the old in relation to the new, I'm talking about the old, this thing that still carries the instinct to go against God's best for my life. If we're going to lead ourselves well, we need to understand, one, that that is apparent, and two, that there is a way to move beyond. So I ask, what's the answer to this when it comes to leading me? If this battle is going on, then how do we deal with this? And I believe Paul answers this. How do we get that life? Well, I think Paul says it's like this. If you want to live, then you've got to die. If you want to live, then you've got to die. Let me tell you, we die best every day by sticking close to Jesus. There's no greater way to die than to know Him, to know His Word, to know His life, to know His ways, and to follow in His ways. Do you know that? You know, we get ourselves in a mess when we stop following His ways, when we stop spending time with Him, when we stop knowing how He's kind of thinking about stuff. This makes sense. We get ourselves in a mess when we don't stick close to Jesus. And sticking close to Jesus means if you want to live, then you've got to die to yourself. Paul writes again in the book of Ephesians, another church, and he writes this: you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new. To be made new. Everyone say new. To be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. In the Gospel of Matthew, he puts it like this: deny yourself. Deny yourself. What kind of a preach is that, that I've got to deny myself? I thought you said I wanted abundant life. If you want to live, you've got to die. To me, myself, and I. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me was the message. Take up your cross speaks of what? Speaks of death. You see? If you want to live, then you've got to die. You see, self will always try and rob me of the God intended me. Okay, we're going to move on. Everyone okay? How do we know how to lead ourselves well? Things we need to know to help us in this. Secondly, you've got to learn to talk to yourself. Some of you say you're really good at this. You've got to learn to talk to yourself. You know, very often I'll be in the house or no one around, and Helen will just come up behind me and hear me speaking and say, "Dave, are you talking to yourself?" And I say, "Sweetheart, you know, sometimes you've got to have an intelligent conversation with someone." Ba-bum. You know, there are times when I have to tell me, myself, and I the truth. Come on. If we're going to lead ourselves, if we want to lead our family, we want to lead our business, we want to lead people, we want to lead church, we want to lead organization, if we want to do all of that, well, we've got to lead ourselves first. Well, it's got to start with me. Sometimes I have to speak to myself, me, myself, and I, and I've got to tell those the truth. So when my mind says I'm not good enough, how many know God knows different? How many know God says different about you than what you say about yourself? So when my mind's telling me all this stuff that you'll never make it, that the promises that were given to you will never happen, trying to tell me in my mind that your family will fall to pieces, and all kinds of demonic lies that come into my mind. When my mind says I'm not good enough, I say, "God, you're just enough for me." You know what this is? This is mind leadership. We have to, if we're going to live well, and if we're going to lead well, we've got to tell our minds some truth. How many know it always starts in our mind? Tells us all kinds of stuff. Life tells us in its complexity, tells us all kinds of stuff. So much more I could say about that. But leading, it, if you like, it's mind leadership. Sometimes I have to speak the truth to my mouth. You ever have to speak the truth to your mouth? And you start questioning some of the things that are coming out your mouth. Do you ever do that, or is it just me? You're not admitting to it this morning. Sometimes I have to speak to my mouth and say, "Shut up, Dave." Saves Helen a job. Saves you guys a job. "Shut up, Dave, because you're talking nonsense." It's mouth leadership. I wonder how good you are yourself leading your own mouth. It's difficult sometimes when you're motor mouth, isn't it? And your mouth engages long before your brain comes into place. And then when you've said something, you think, "Uh-oh, why did I say that?" This is mouth leadership. Is this okay? Mind leadership. There is mouth leadership. How about leading in me, in leading well, in leading myself well? How about leading my eyes and leading my ears? You know what that means sometimes? Turn it off, Dave. Turn it off. Or don't read that. Don't read that news. That is not helping you, Dave. In your leadership of your life, it is not helping you. It is influencing you for bad. Don't do it. We've got to speak to our eyes and speak to our ears. Another one, Dave, why are you responding like that? You ever ask yourself the question? Why am I responding like that? You know, that is leading my emotions. That's quite a difficult one. You know, very often the leadership of all of these things comes to the leadership of our emotions, because it's our emotions that make us say the things that we shouldn't very often. Makes us hear what actually is not being said. So we've got to speak truth to our emotions. If we get on this emotional roller coaster, it can finish us off. You know, in a world, in a secularized world where it really is all about emotions and what feels good, what feels bad, and how we should respond to those emotions, then don't you think it's a good idea that we have some leadership, some self-leadership towards our emotions and how we respond or how we react to certain things? I say those because there's a big difference between responding and reacting. This is about, if I'm going to lead Dave well, then there are some times I've got to tell my emotions to get into line with the truth and not the situation that's making me feel a certain way. So sometimes we need to speak to ourselves to lead ourselves well. King David in the Bible was pretty good at this. Psalm 103 verse 1 says, David spoke to himself and he said this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Bless the Lord, O my soul. Not someone else's. Come on, get your act together and you worship. No, I'm speaking to myself. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. I'm speaking to the very inner part of me to let something out that is truth. The same man, David, King David, he spoke to himself, the Bible says, in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. Scripture says that he encouraged himself. You know, we wait and wait and wait, and sometimes we've got to wait forever for somebody else to encourage you. That's just how it is sometimes. You know, it's not good, is it? You know, we ought to be encouragers of one another, but sometimes it doesn't come along. It's like, where's the encouragement? And we wait all day and it doesn't come. And if you read the context of that story, you've got King David, who has made a leadership decision. He's now leading himself and he's leading others. I mean, you know, if we don't lead ourselves well, it starts to spill out on the way that we lead others. And so he's made this call, and there's lots of people ticked off with him because of this leadership call. They've lost some people in this scenario. This is a big deal and a big call that King David's made. And no one's coming with the encouragement. No one's knocking him on the back and saying, "That was a great call, David. You did so well." In fact, I kind of think it's the opposite way. I think there's people ready to kill David because of the leadership call that he's made. Anyone ever been there, done that? But the scripture says, David encouraged himself. You know, if no one else is doing it, you can always do it yourself. And sometimes we have to speak the truth of what God says about us, and sometimes we have to speak it out loud, not to the audience, but to yourself, to encourage yourself. So much more I could say. I'm going to finish in a moment. I'm going to move on. If we're going to lead well, if you're going to lead you well, this is about me leadership. This is about self-leadership. If you're going to lead you well, put your own name in there. Then number three, and I think this is such a mighty thing and such a big thing that we need to get hold of. Number three, you've got to learn that God is bigger than myself. God is bigger than myself. You know what? This God, because of a commitment and a big call I made many, many years ago, oh my word, I made that decision 50 years ago. Isn't it amazing when you suddenly realize how young you are? This year, and I kind of don't mark out stuff like that. I'm not like, oh, let's celebrate. I've been Christian 50 years. It's like telling you've been a Christian 25 and you're only 31, you know. It will be 50 years. I was 7 years old when I came to faith. 50 years ago. Dad's gone quiet. You know how old I am now. But you know, we've got to realize and understand and know and got to learn that God is bigger than myself. And you know why? Because He is in me. Forget yourself and the stuff that we battle with. The reason that we walk free of our sin, the reason that we are cleansed of all sin is because He is in me. And so I want to say this as I bring this to a close, that we've got to learn that God is bigger than myself, that God is much, much bigger than my false belief about me, that God is much bigger than my no way out situation, that God is bigger than my current plans. And the reason for that, it says clearly in 1 John 4:4, where it says, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is He that's in me. Not just watching over me. He's in me. The reason I'm free from sin is because He's in me. I want to say He's the difference. So I've talked about myself, I've talked about me, myself, and I. The reason I can speak about I is because Christ is in me, and I can say, I am a new creation. That all things have become new, not because I've been reformed, but because I've been renewed. Regenerated by Christ Himself, reconciled, brought back into relationship. That's what it means. Just brought back into relationship with Jesus. I am a new creation. I am an overcomer. Come on. I am an overcomer. Even on the days where I don't feel like it. You know, God doesn't play hide and seek with you. What's that? What's that thing we used to do as kids where you used to pull petals off? Loves me not. What was the plant? What did we use? Hopefully not roses. What? Daisy, all right? Anybody used to do that? Just came straight back in. None of you, okay. It was only me who stole daisies. And I remember somebody teaching me, you know, love me not, love me. You're hoping to goodness sake that it landed on love me, you know. God doesn't play hide and seek with you. Is He with me? You know, we get up in the morning. Is He with me or is He gone? I can't feel Him this morning. He must have gone. Oh, I need to phone somebody. I need some counseling because He's left me today. You know, God doesn't leave you like that. He doesn't play hide and seek with you. When you're in your muck, and it all hits the fan, He's still in you. When you're on top of the world and you're you know, you're taking the world and you're leading some incredible stuff and you're in great success, He's still with you. When you make a bad leadership call in your leading of life, Oh, I made that call. I wonder whether God's left me. I'm not hearing from him. He's still there. He's not gone anywhere. Because he dwells in you. He dwells in you. He's not even gone on holiday from you. I am an overcomer, Romans 8. I can lead myself well. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4, verse 13. Psalm 18, verse 29 says, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. That's what I can do. And you can put me to the test. Because that's what I believe. He's bigger than me, myself, and I. And how I navigate, how you navigate, how I navigate me, myself, and I leadership, in other words, self-leadership, will be the determinant factor of all my other leadership responsibilities in life. That's the gig. That's how it works. It's the first and most important one to nail. Why is it that so many people want to lead the world, but they can't lead themselves? And just maybe, as we bow in prayer right now, just maybe, it's time for some of us to start to follow and trust Jesus with me, myself, and I.